We argue that you're at the gate of going vertical. And forget momentum now. We'll get into that later. And the key trigger for this, we'll get into in a second. Just looking at the price charts, a log scale. If you measure what happened in the last 6 months of that vertical move that peaked in 1980,
Michael Oliver, Momentum Structural Analysis. Good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Hi, Andy, how you doing?
Doing really good. So this is a fantastic time if you're a gold and silver player to be alive, isn't it? So let's start out talking about gold and silver and work our way to the miners and anything else that we want to cover here. So yeah, talk to me about where are we at in the gold market and the silver market here. You pick.
Well, the I know if you look at a price chart. A current price chart, arithmetic scale of gold or silver, you think, oh wow, it's just gone ballistic. I got to take profits. Okay. The bigger context is totally different than what you see on that screen. The screen looks like, yeah, I've gone ballistic compared to the price action that prevailed over the last couple of years, which is more layered. In fact, there was a period just April, May, June, July, August where gold was dead sideways. Okay. But we got this is a this chart's very informative. This is I'm possessed by it, okay? As a technician. This shows silver price on a logarithmic or ratio scale chart. So, I've shown the period in 79 and 80 where silver, after going up for several years, went vertical, okay? And then there's the period in 2010, 11, the green arrow in the lines. Where you've been going up for years, and then in the last 2 quarters, you went vertical. Okay. We've been going up for years, just like those. Okay. Not vertical, arm wrestling all the way, torturing people, monthly consolidation periods, corrections, all that stuff that goes with the normal arduous bull market. We argue that you're at the gate of going vertical. And forget momentum now. We'll get into that later. And the key trigger for this, we'll get into in a second. Just looking at the price charts, a log scale. If you measure what happened in the last 6 months of that vertical move that peaked in 1980, that's the red up arrow with the two horizontals showing where it started and where it ended. 6 months, you went from like $8 to 50. Okay. So we mark that distance on the log scale chart there. Okay, forget that. Now let's go to the 2010-11 period, where you also went up to the $50 level. And in the last 6 months there, between the green horizontal upper line and the green horizontal lower line, you went up X amount there. Okay, we mark that with the green arrow. Now, when we take those two arrows, the green arrow showing the logarithmic dimension of that move, 1980, I mean, 2011, and the red arrow to the 1980 peak and move them over to the present. At the present price, if you go vertical, and I'll give you that argument in a minute, equaling the 1980 surge, 79-80 surge, you go up to $200 or so, okay, logarithmically. And if you match the move from October 2010 to April 2011, where silver went from like 20 something to 50, silver's going over 100 to match
Gosh.
that ratio scale over in the next handful of months. Okay. Now, what's going to cause this? Well, aside from the certain fundamental arguments and also the fact that silver ain't going to stop at a triple top, guys. Okay. You want to sell at 50, go be my guest. You'll be buried. Okay. The question then is, though, once we get through that silly nonsense level of 50, because frankly, it is nonsense because it's so many years ago that in real dollar terms, factoring in the degradation in the real buying power of the US dollar, remember it doubles and almost doubles in quantity every decade. So it's a junior version of the Weimar, okay? Silver would be $200 just to match the 1980 high or something, some number like that. Okay, so silver's been suppressed. Gold's way above its 2011 high, way above its 1980 high. Copper's above its 2011 high, and yet silver's supposed to stay below it. $50. Oh yeah, right. Bet on that. We're arguing that we're going to break out, and the key for the breakout now is not whether silver's in an uptrend or a downtrend, because it's already been going up for a couple years now, right? Okay, no question about it. Different manner of rise, but still rising constantly. What's going to cause it to go ballistic? Well, go to the next page.
Yeah, and to all my viewers and listeners, I'm looking at two different screens here. I have a screen with all of this
Okay, now
information
here we
on.
go.
Here we
Now,
go.
let me explain what the top chart is.
Yeah, please
That's
do.
simply every month, where is the price of silver, divide an ounce of silver into an ounce of gold, and express it as a percent. Okay, we go back to late 2019, and you see the surge into 2020 where silver beat gold on the upside. The black line went from like under 0.9% up to 1.5 something percent. So a big percent move. That's like a silver went from 15 to 30 during that time, and gold went up about $600, but silver doubled. Okay, so the spread outperformed, silver outperformed gold. But since that high and actually early 2021, silver has been giving back relative value to gold. Okay, it actually dropped back under the 1% level early this year. In a sense, you could see shot up nicely now on the spread chart. Now, right now, the spread chart's above that downtrend, but we prefer that horizontal red line. This is the top chart again. Top
Got it
chart.
right here.
This is the spread itself, which is price versus price expressed as a percent. I want to break out over that red horizontal. That means getting the price of silver versus gold from where it is right now, which is 1.23% approximately. Above 1.31%. Then that spread has a triple top breakout over a base that goes back about 2.5, 3 years. So
Yep,
it's
I see it.
technically important. Okay. Now, when we run momentum of the spread, which is the chart below, let's measure what it measures is each of those monthly spread closes in relationship to a 10-month moving average. It
Okay.
has the same triple top, except you're at it.
We are right there.
Yeah, momentum is over to the right, is that third
One,
hit on the
two,
red line.
three.
So momentum is at
One,
its triple top breakout,
three.
which usually occurs first. Momentum almost always will break out into a new trend direction prior to price. Okay. We close right at it the end of yesterday, the end of the month. Okay. Now, it doesn't take much to break that momentum through, and it doesn't take much to actually break the spread chart through. What does it matter? Go to the next page, I'll give you an example. To go back to the 2008 through 2011 advance in silver price versus gold, the spread was down in the 1.2% level back in 2008, 9, and it went up and made a plateau for about a year and a half, 2 years. It had a flat ceiling, the red line. You went up and bumped it, bumped it. Okay, it's when you closed above it. The green arrow, that was in October of 2010. Okay, make that note. Now drop down to the two charts below. These are simply price charts of silver and gold, monthly bar charts. I circled the month on price of silver and the price of gold when that spread broke out. That was October 2010. Silver was about $22, and in 6 months it was 50.
Look at that.
Okay, gold also advanced, but it didn't have anywhere near the percent gain in that period of time that silver did. So the key to telling when silver is going to accelerate versus gold, and also when silver price is going to go vertical, this occurred in 79.80, 2010 and 11. We're looking at the 2010-11 situation here, is when the spread breaks out. So
It's
quit
right
looking at.
now.
We're looking at the spread chart now as the next trigger to generate not just upside in silver versus gold, and upside in both of them, but silver going vertical versus gold,
Right.
and possibly, probably doing what it did in 79, or doing what it did in 2010, 11 in terms of percent gain. So the key trigger right now to look at is not the price charts, not whether silver goes through $50. It's a relic, the spread chart. And we're pushing up toward it as we showed on the prior page. So, anyway, This is what we're pounding the table over right now. Watch the spread. It's the most important technical out there. And if you think silver and gold have been going, quote, vertical lately by looking at your arithmetic daily chart of the last year or something, you're wrong. You haven't even begun to see it yet. And I think it's about to happen because, again, momentum is back to that triple top. It ain't going to stop. And when it goes through, the spread will go through as well, in which case, set the clock. The next couple quarters could be meteoric, and silver may end up in an, it will likely end up in a new price reality rather than this $20 to $50 range it's been in for 50 years. Okay.
Right.
Copper's above that range. Gold
Right.
is well above that range.
Right.
Silver's about to catch up. Anyway.
So I'm going to stop sharing this here. A couple of questions about this. First question is, when it does break out and makes the run that you did, that we all expected, especially you were predicting we expect it to do. Do you expect it specifically silver? Do you expect silver to ever come back down again, or is that
No.
it?
Yeah, well, it'll come down again, but it'll come down from a new reality. In other words, in both of those moves, if we further examine them, I don't have the charts here, but if you go back to that 79 to 80 surge at the tail end of that bull market that had been underway since 76 low. Okay. In the last 6 months of that move, there was actually a correction in the middle of that move. And
I
no
can bring it
doubt,
up again if you want me to.
if you can, you won't be able to see that on the log scale, I don't think.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you could see it in 2008. There's an example there. You'll notice about 3 months after the green circle, where silver surged from just above 20, it surged up to over 30. Okay. You had a bad month. No, the middle chart,
Middle chart right
the
here.
price chart, the middle one, silver is the middle chart. That one there. 3 months later, you surge. Then you had a bad month in January of 2011, where you had a straight down month. 3 months after that spread breakout, you had a surge in price, but you had a bad month
Right here.
in January.
Yeah.
No doubt everybody thought, oh, that's it, it's a blow off and you're through. Then you turned in the next 3 months, you went berserk. Okay.
Yeah, I bring
Same
up a great
thing
point.
happened in 79 to 80. There was a pause in the middle of the move, spanning about 5 to 6 weeks, where it looked like, oh, golly, it's topping. It was just taking a breath. And then it tacked on the rest. So it was the 3 months. Wobble around, confuse, then phew, get there. When you get to the new reality in silver, and it could be, my guess is it's going to at least be 100. It's quite probable, possibly could be 200. That's a new reality. No, that doesn't mean you're going to stay up there. You could have a sell-off, but you're not coming back to 50. Your sell-off might be from 200 to 125 or something. You're in a new reality on silver then. The key is participating in the move into that new reality. And I think it's not going to be one of these things where you get to casually judge it along the way, if you know what I mean. If you're
Right.
not there, you're not there. Okay.
Right. So in your opinion is to that's the move you want to get there for that move, and then you
Yeah,
can
after that,
reassess.
who cares? I mean, you've done
Right.
it, especially if you're using anything with any potency of leverage, with futures or call options, especially. Again, the key is that spread. And that's our primary technical focus week by week in our reports. In fact, we're going to put out an update this afternoon on that. And I break it down into a weekly situation as opposed to monthly closes. Because we're pressing at the levels that are key. And if you can get through them, it begins.
Can he bar the door?
Yeah, and you don't need a headline. The reasons are built into the market. There's the decades of underpricing of silver relative to gold, decades of underpricing silver relative to anything, the value of the dollar, not versus other currencies, but its real buying power, et cetera, et cetera. It's just, it's been, it made a mistake. Investors did. They let it get underpriced for too long and they thought, oh, that's the new reality. No. It's
Yeah.
just like, we see it with a market top sometimes. You make a bubble top in a stock market and you think it's just going to go up forever. and it gets overpriced way too long. And when it corrects, it just tr doesn't correct. It collapses. It
Right.
doesn't need a new reason. It's the old reason that it's moving on.
Right. Talk to me about the miners here. What are you seeing in the miners? And you've been pounding the table just to give everybody some context about the miners here for since I've been really talking to you, which is it's been about 18 months. So go ahead.
Well, yeah, the miners were just like silver has, they've underperformed since 2020 relative to gold. They broke out on their spread basis about 4 or 5 months ago. And if you'll notice, when gold stopped in April with 3,500 high, May, June, July, August, dead sideways, GDX exploded. The
Right.
miners exploded. So when the spread broke out, it showed itself, especially even in the net price of the gold miners. They went vertical. You took even Newmont went from a $50 level, it's up to 84 in a heartbeat, new all-time new highs. Okay. And people gave up on it. And in 5 months, excuse me, yeah, about April, it started to turn. So a handful of months, it left the page and made a new high.
Right.
Did it need a reason? Yeah, the reason was it was underpriced in the first place. Okay. So anyway, that's what we're facing. And the miners, our expectation based on long-term spread analysis is that they could double to possibly triple in relative performance to gold. So as gold continues up, the miners will continue to beat it by large amounts. And when you go back to the 1980s and look at relative performance of where gold, silver miners were in relation to an ounce of gold, like XAU index, for example, you could triple its, we're right now pushing 8%. You could go up to 17.5%, more than double from where you are now, just to get to the underneath side of the multi-decade range it prevailed in the 1980s, 90s, and into 2000. So that's how cheap they are. And their relative performance, they could ventilate on the upside in terms of place to be. And after all, a lot of investors don't like putting their money into bullion or futures or things like that. They like the miners.
Right, for leverage.
And I think it's a relative trade. It's a relative place to be, much like so. And the silver miners also are pressing at a breakout level versus the gold miners.
Right. Well, it's interesting you say all that because I talk to a lot of company CEOs and do interviews with them, as well as institutional investors, if you would, and large investors. And they are telling me, and I've seen it, we're seeing a massive flow, inflow of money directly into the miners. And part of me is afraid of that in the sense of it's not no longer a contrarian trade, but usually you get the biggest move, if you would, or you get the big moves
But
when.
it's early in the move though, if this
Yeah,
were
I'm glad you
occurring
said that.
late,
Yeah. It's early in the move. Talk to me really two things that I want to hear from you. Also want to hear from you. Talk to me about a commodity, an overall commodity breakout. Do you see that happening here? And I'm saying that because I know that your answer, but I don't want to put words into you. I just want you to share with all my viewers and listeners. And then talk to me about a general, an overall S&P 500 move as well as a NASDAQ 100. Talk to me about what you're seeing.
Well, commodities remain cheap relative to their prior history. Bloomberg Commodity Index is 104, one is 105 as we speak. Okay. It's been in a range for the last 2.5 to more years between about 108 high to about a 95 low. If you go back to the 2008 high in commodities, Bloomberg, it was 237. We're not even half the price level of where it was in 2008.
I mean,
So
think about
commodities are still cheap. Okay. So all the talk about, oh, inflation, there's been monetary inflation and stock price inflation, but commodities really haven't been inflated. Crude oil. It's been moving with the Bloomberg. In other words, it hit 130 in 2022 early when the war began in Ukraine. So did the Bloomberg. They both peaked shortly after that war and went down. Bloomberg was at 140, dropped down under 100. Crude oil was 130, dropped down into the 60s. Okay, that's where we are now. But basically, you can draw a line sideways on a price chart of crude going back a couple of years. And it's been either side of where it is now. Just ho hum, $10 swings, $20 swings, but they're all just going sideways, really, and well below that high. When we run momentum studies of crude oil, not looking at the price chart, and we run momentum of the Bloomberg Commodity Index, which includes the energy sector, of course, they both have pending major momentum breakout levels, a rat's hair above where you are now. For instance, Bloomberg's 105 plus. You close any month out above 106.52 this year, green light goes on.
Wow.
Annual momentum breaks out, and you're likely to start a whole new up leg in the Bloomberg. Remember that first leg went from a low in the 50s up to 140, 2020, 2022. We're now back at either side of 100. The next leg commences if we cross that 106.52 level on a monthly close. Crude oil has a similar situation. It's right now at 62, 63 bucks. It's been up to 65 recently this past month. You close a month out in the upper 67s during this quarter, any month. We've been there before. Heck, we got up into the 70s during that Iran, when they attacked the Iranian facility. It was a, you don't buy war news, by the way. It's stupid.
Right, you
It never
sell.
works.
Yes, sell war news.
They sold the war news, came back down in the 60s. You get back up now in a sneaky little crawl and close in the upper 67s, which on a price chart doesn't really smack you in the face. But on momentum, it says, uh-uh, you're out of here. Then you're going to have a shock effect from the commodity complex, which again has been asleep for 2 years.
Wow.
So that's going to surprise investors as an asset iceberg that's impacting other things. And I strongly suspect that's going to occur about coincident with the stock market rolling over again. Asset flow out of one into the other.
Right. Let's talk about that. You wrote about that in again your most recent that I was looking at your most recent update. Talk to me about the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ 100. Do you see them rolling over, or do you see them really going to the end of the year, going up really just parabolic again? And they've
I
already
would,
been parabolic. Go ahead.
well, it's really since late 2024, see, almost a year now, you've gained about 10% in the S&P. Compare that to gold or silver and
Right.
your head off. Okay. And you've done, it's been arduous because they took you down, they took you up, they took you down, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, you're up if you weathered the storms, but you're really not gaining much. The rate of the increase in the bull market is very slowed over the last year. If you pay attention to that, it means something. It means somebody's doubtful, okay? And also the leadership has narrowed drastically. You know, we're down to where everybody's looking at two, three stocks.
Right.
Nobody's paying attention to the financial sector, the bank sector, real estate, commercial real estate. Things like that that aren't doing what the S&P has been doing. In fact, most of the key sectors within the S&P that are non-tech, we ran a spreads on these recently, since early this year have been going down versus the stock market. Only tech and a very narrow portion of the tech has been going up. So it's used to be that wasn't the case. In fact, you go back to 2024 during that surge, most of the sectors were participating fairly well with the S&P. They're not anymore. So you've narrowed. If you go to page one of that weekend report,
Yeah, I'll do it right now. Let's
this
go
is
right now.
a smack in your face chart showing price and momentum. This is as of Friday's close last week. First page. There you go. This shows weekly S&P going back, where is that? The 20 22 lows, okay, when
Yes.
we had the lows then. And you had a huge advance in 23, 24, as you can see, where you went from, 4,000 up to over six. And then suddenly it got a lot of ink that was both above there and below there, sort of widening
Yep.
action. And each week has been incremental over the last, dozen weeks or so. Now, what we have below is a momentum chart of that weekly price action. What we do is we're measuring each of the weeks in their relationship to the 100-week moving average. That's like a 2-year average, okay?
Right.
And when you plot that oscillator, you come up with a different trend structure appearance than you do when you look at the price chart.
You really
So,
do.
yeah, you have a show the price chart, scroll up a little bit more too. There, right, to show both. Now, when you broke down in January and again in early March, the red circles on momentum and the red circles on price, you puked.
Yep.
Now, on momentum, you broke a parallel channel going back to 2022. So you broke the backbone of the momentum uptrend that had prevailed for that couple of years. So you're a wounded beast.
Yep.
Yep. And you bounced off that 100-week average area. People bought that big round number. And also, we expected a rally there. We predicted 4,800 would be support for a bounce. Didn't tell everybody it would make a new high, but that's what happened in 2000, 2007 as well. Made a new high after you did the damage on momentum. But look where the momentum action's been. It's been capped
Yeah, it really
underneath
has.
the old channel, and you're basically back to the point of the first breakage on momentum, the upper red circle. And we're arguing that if you slip back down, you see the blue black circle on momentum, the bottom
Yes.
chart, the horizontal, that's the last 3 months of action has been holding that horizontal line. If you slip back below that, momentum chart's going to turn back down. And all the multiple circles you see under the price chart on the top show the rise where that breakage point
Ahead.
occurs each week. It rises each week because the moving average is rising. Okay. So what we're saying is if you slip back into the 6400s, which is that's 250 points. So we're talking several handful of percentage points at any point in the next couple months. You're going to blow that momentum chart through its multi-month floor, and you're going to slip price back down. I suspect if you get price back below the February high in the S&P, which was 6147,
Right
that's
now.
where the price guys are going to say, "Hey, I thought we had a breakout here. How come it's back below the breakout point on price?" That's where you're going to get concern among the average investor. And momentum is saying it won't take much to get you there. All you got to do is roll over into the 6400s again. And that number will be in the 6500s in a couple of weeks. Okay. So you can't afford to drop 3 or 4%. So
Got it.
this incremental crawl on the S&P, we don't trust it because momentum is already broken. Momentum is under resistance. We don't trust the price, therefore. So this is what happens often at tops. Price looks good. Momentum says, We'll see.
Yeah. So let's say, assume that we do get that, we get that rollover, and it happens here. In my mind, it's going to happen to have to happen this month. And again, like as you said, you'll see. How does that affect gold and silver? Does it have any effect on it at all?
Well, in the downturns from 2000 to 2002 or 2007 through the early 2009, there were net gains, except for exception of one month, bad month in October 2008, where gold net advanced solidly, silver net advanced solidly, and continued up for years to go in 2011. Okay. Between 2000 and 2002, gold advanced in the early phase of its bull market. It was at 250 bucks and it was going up while the stock market was going down. Okay. And remember, the NASDAQ 100 back then dropped 82% in 2 years and gold went up. So you think a huge drop in the stock market should hurt gold? No, it didn't. Gold went up solidly on a percent basis during that time. So it means money flows from one place to another. It always does, it
Yeah,
never
it's a
always evaporates. Scared money moves. And already I think we're seeing that, like you mentioned, in the gold miners. Large investors are moving because they're getting more and more doubtful about the stock market enthusiasm. They look at their fundamental metrics, they're doubtful. So they start moving. Why? Because it's working. The gold miners are working, and I think that's you get more breakage in the stock market, you'll have more money flow as well.
Got it. Just a misconception then, that most people have is that it
Yeah.
all goes down together, if you would. Michael, I'm very happy to all my viewers and listeners. This is a I am giving a recommendation. I'd recommend Michael's work. I've been a very happy client for really since we started talking, going on 18 months here. I want to thank you so much for that spot on analysis. It right or wrong, it gives you something that's different, and it gives you something great to think about. And you've been right a lot more than you've been wrong. And in fact, you've been pounding your table about that table. About this move, which is happening here. So, if people want to do business with you, if they want to reach out to you, how do they do that?
Well, the site is olivermsa.com. Take your time, look at our unorthodox methodology. We discuss why it exists and how it operates, basically, and request some sample reports.
You're underselling it. All my viewers and listeners, go to the site. It's fantastic service. Michael's also a gentleman. He's been at this game. I've been at this game for 30 years. Michael's been at it longer than me, so he has even a lot more experience than me in this. So I want to thank you. And he's also always, always very gracious to come on the show, and even in a moment's notice. So I want to thank you for that as well, Michael. Michael, great seeing you. We'll get this out as soon as we can in the next 24 hours. I'll tag you on all my socials, and I just want to thank you for your time as always. It's really great to see you.
Thank you, Andy.